You're listening to a message from Every Nation Canberra. In this message, Pastor Joe Sulit uses Isaiah 45 verse 3 to share an encouragement on how we can find hope in the midst of suffering, pain, and disappointment.
Thank you for joining us this morning. Oh, it's so good to see a lot of familiar and new faces. Welcome to Every Nation Canberra. Good to see you. I want you to look at this picture. Since we're talking about money, I want you to look at this picture. And I want to ask you a question. What would you do if you have $25 million? Say that to the person beside you. First thing that comes to mind, $25 million. U.S. dollars, huh? Not Australian dollars. $25 million U.S. dollars. That's about maybe 30 plus, yeah? I'll give you a minute to imagine and sort of dream. At the top of your mind, anyone would like to share? First thing that you would do with $25 million? Pay off your mortgage, right? Okay. Pay off everything. And then quit job, quit your work, right? Everyone who quit their work when you get $25 million, I would do the same, right? But there's no resigning in the calling that God has placed in our life. Rick Warren, the author of Purpose-Driven Life, he said, life is a series of problems. Life is a series of battles. Maybe you're in one right now. Maybe you've just been through one. And if you're just okay, let me tell you, you will be in a battle whether you like it or not. It's not a question of if, it's only a question of when. In the series that we started last week, we now understand that the battles are part of our Christian life. It's part of our daily Christian walk. The Bible says in Romans 5, count it all joy when you experience trials and sufferings of all kinds. It did not say if trials come, it said when trials come. It says that our suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. The suffering that you're facing right now is meant to grow your character. God is more interested in your character than in your comfort. God is more interested in your character than in your comfort. And as we ended our prayer and fasting set apart, we learned that our purpose in life is not to be happy. Let me tell you that again. Your purpose is not to be happy. Your purpose is to be holy. All of us want to be happy. Who doesn't, right? We can be reasonably happy in life. Most days I believe we are. But that is not the goal. Our goal is to grow in our character, to imitate Christ, and become like Jesus. Our goal is to conduct ourselves in a holy manner that is consistent, whether we are in public or whether we are by ourselves. Our goal is to live a life that honors God. There's a saying, we call it in Tagalog, gulong ng palad. There's a saying that life is like a wheel. Sometimes you're on top, everything's going well, good business, good career, nice job, you know, you're able to pay off your bills on time. Sometimes you're in the middle and life is just okay, and sometimes you're at the bottom where everything doesn't seem to work and you feel like the weight of the entire world is on your shoulders. Rick Warren said, I used to think that life was hills and valleys. You go through a dark time, he said, then you go through the mountaintop, back and forth. And this is what he said. I don't believe that anymore. Rick Warren rather said that rather than being life, hills and valleys, life is kind of like two rails on a railroad track. And at times you have something good happening in your life, right? But at the same time, there are also bad things happening in your life. Battles and blessings, they come together. He said just a year after publishing this book, around 2002, I guess, it sold 15 million copies. 15 million, just the first year. And you know what he said? It made me instantly very wealthy. The Purpose-Driven Life became the second most translated book globally, translated into 137 languages. And now, it sold about 50 million copies. Rick Warren's net worth is $25 million as of today. What was the first thing that he did? He stopped getting salary from the church, number one. Number two, he computed everything that he earned the past 24 years from the church. He gave it all back. And then he and his wife started a foundation to help church plants around the world and for humanitarian reasons. But it was a blessing, right? But he said, this past year has been the greatest year of my life. Imagine writing a book, selling 15 million copies, if it's 50 cents a copy, how much have you earned? But he said, but it's also the toughest. That was in 2003. Year after releasing Purpose-Driven Life, his wife, Kay Warren, was diagnosed with stage 1 breast cancer. A year after that, he was diagnosed with melanoma, skin cancer. You see, life can sometimes be full of good things, but at the same time, there are things that you're battling with, maybe emotionally, maybe in your family, maybe you have a good job. You don't have to worry about, you know, checking your bank account because you know there's always money in there, but you have a problem with your wife or with your spouse or with your children. Life is battles and blessings. Kay Warren said, I used to be very, very afraid to die. It wasn't that I was afraid of what would happen to me after death because I am certain of my salvation through Jesus Christ. This is what she said. I was not afraid of dying because I won't go to heaven. I was afraid of the process of dying. If you're going to ask me now, I'm not afraid to die. What I'm afraid of is the pain and the suffering that I would feel. What I fear of is looking at the mirror and my hair is slowly falling off because I have cancer. That's what I'm afraid of. I'm not afraid to die because I know that I'll be with Jesus. And Kay said, I was afraid of the process of dying. And you know, when you come close to death, you think about a lot of things. She said, I don't assume anymore that I'm going to grow old with my husband, sit on the porch in a rocking chair, and watch the sunset with him. When you have a brush with a physical illness, you come to think of it, will I still be able to watch the sunset, retire in a nice place with my spouse? She said, I understand now that in a brief moment, life can change forever. Keep that in mind. In a brief moment, everything that you have now, it can be completely gone. It can change. In James chapter 4, it says, what is your life? You are but a mist that is here now and vanishes the next minute. Remember when you're driving on a foggy morning and after 2 minutes, it just suddenly disappears? That's life. That's what the Bible says. Life is like a mist. In other translations, it says it's like a fog in the morning. The reality of mortality is something that we have to face. Don't live your life as if you're going to live forever. No. Whether you like it or not, you have to face death. So what are we going to ask ourselves? Am I going to live for my possessions? Am I going to live for popularity? Am I going to live off people's approval of me or affirmation from others? Because a lot of us, that's what we live for. And am I going to be driven by materialism, the things that I need to buy, the things that I want to buy, the things that I ought to buy? And I'm going to be driven by work. A lot of you are driven by work. Am I going to be driven by my worry about the future? What will happen tomorrow? Am I driven by the amount of money I have in the bank? If I have a lot, I'm okay. But if not, I'm going to work double time. Remember, God is interested in who you are and not what you do. That's why he created us as human beings and not as human doings. Last week, we talked about seeking the Lord in prayer when we are facing the giants in our life. If you were not here last week, it's saying, Lord, I choose to love you even if I don't know where this road would lead me. Lord, I choose to worship you even if I don't know what will happen tomorrow. In happy moments, praise God. Difficult moments, seek God. Quiet moments, worship God. In painful moments, trust God. And in every moment, thank God. Our message today is about finding hope in the midst of suffering. And I'm not just talking about physical suffering. I'm talking about discouragement, disappointment, depression, and maybe you're just low in spirit. So let's open our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 45, verse 3. If you don't have your Bibles with you, you can scan this code and it will lead you directly to the ESV version of Isaiah 45, 3. It's a short verse. Let's read it together. I will give you the treasures of darkness and the hoards in secret places, that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who call you by name. This is a very, very short verse, but it packs a very powerful message. I will give you the treasures of darkness and the hoards in secret places, that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who call you by your name. In Isaiah 45, God promised the Israelites that they will be released from the bondage to Babylon through a Persian king named Cyrus. This was actually a message to Cyrus. During his conquest, Cyrus literally found treasures that the Jews had buried while they were taken into captivity in Babylon, gold and riches that the Babylonians have kept in the Euphrates River. Thus, the prophecy was fulfilled. God said to Cyrus, I will give you treasures of darkness, riches hidden in the secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord and I have called you by name. I just want to encourage you that even if this particular passage was written for King Cyrus, this carries with it a very powerful message for all of us Christians now. There is hope in the unexpected places of darkness. When it's dark, you can't see anything, right? You can't make a sense of what's happening to your life. But we are reminded that there are blessings in the battle that we face. You will find treasure in the painful and difficult places where you don't even want to be. Why? Because God gives us one reason in this verse, so that you may know that He is God in your life. I will give you treasures of darkness and riches in hidden secret places, so that you may know that I am Lord and I have called you by name. The Lord doesn't call you brother, sister, son, child. He calls you by your name, Vivian, Joel, Chris, Apple, Mike. He calls you by name. What keeps you awake at night? A lot of things. The enemy wants us to focus on our pain. He wants you to focus on the things that you are disappointed with, maybe your spouse or your children, your coworker. He wants you to focus on the cynicism that you have in your mind, the troubles that you're going through. He wants you to dwell on the hurt and in the process think that God is not there for me. Why am I going through all of this? Where are you, Lord? But there is hope in darkness, and you will find treasure in the hidden and secret places, so that you will know that there is a God who cares for you. Rick Warren and his wife were leading one of the biggest churches in America. You know how many attendees they have? We have maybe about 30 here. They have 23,000 attendees every week all across the U.S. Saddleback Church, one of the biggest. It's a blessing to be called to serve the Lord and to be able to preach and share the gospel to a lot of people. But they had a son who was diagnosed with depression as early as he was 7 years old. 10 years after he wrote The Purpose-Driven Life, their son Matthew, who died at the age of 27 from a self-inflicted gunshot after a lifelong struggle with depression and mental illness. Battles and blessings. And you know what Kay said? As a mother, I live with a broken heart every day until the day that Jesus comes for me. And that's okay. You know, I like what she said. She said, it's okay to walk through life with tears in your eyes and a smile on your face at the same time. She said, I'm more sure of heaven and God's mercy than I have ever been before. How can a mom say that after losing a son? I'm more sure of heaven and of God's mercy than I have ever been before. Do you find yourself sometimes crying for no reason at all? Okay lang umiyak. It's okay to cry. You know, sometimes our grief comes in waves. One moment you're crying, the next moment you're happy, and the next moment you're crying again. What I've learned is this. You have to allow yourself to cry. It's okay. You have to allow yourself to feel the pain because it is part of the process. Sometimes you have to cry out loud, and sometimes you refrain from doing that because you're afraid that people might not understand. Even your spouse, who you've been with all your life, they will not understand. So when you feel like crying, cry out to God. The Bible says, the Lord keeps track of all our sorrows. He collects every tear that falls from our eyes in a bottle. And He records each and every sorrow and pain in your heart in His book. God knows your wanderings. He knows your sorrows. If you have cried the river, then God's got a bottle with the river on it. Not literally, of course, but what it means is that God remembers and He cares. He is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Whatever that brings tears to your eyes, that doesn't have to define you. Your illness, that's not your identity. Your character, that's not your body chemistry or hormones. The money that you have, that's not your real treasure. The work that you have, that's not your real security. Whatever you have accomplished, that is not your real value. I believe in my heart that our battles don't have to define us. It is who we surrender to. It is who we seek in prayer. It is who He fights for us. That is our identity. Jesus is our identity. Rick and Kay Warren said there was an enormous outpouring from people when they learned that their son died. And the ones that meant most to them were not from the famous people. You know how they are. They're connected with everyone. Not from the rock stars or the prime ministers. Here's what they said. The letters that meant the most were actually the letters from the people that Matthew had led to Christ. It amazes me that even in our own brokenness, God can still use us to be a light in a broken world. Kay said, in God's garden of grace, even broken trees, they bear fruit. The grace of God will sustain you in your brokenness. The reality is that we are all broken. Our bodies sometimes don't work the way it should, especially if you're my age, right? We get sick, we get tired, we get discouraged. And all of us in this room, we're all dealing with some kind of emotional, mental, physical, or spiritual challenge. So what's the reality of the situation? We are broken. And sometimes you don't know why. As Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12, he said, "Now we see but a poor reflection. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known." Maybe the answers that you need won't be revealed to you in this lifetime. But we know that when we see God face to face, then we shall know fully that there are treasures hidden in the darkest places, that there are blessings in the battles that you're facing. Last week, our message is seeking God in prayer. Our message today is the same. In the battles that you face, be intimate with God. I don't know what your battles are right now, but if you are in one, be intimate with Him. Cry out to Him. If you need to cry out loud, cry out to Him. Pray and seek the Lord, even in the dark place. God is our refuge. God is our strength. God is our anchor. But remember, our intimacy with God should not be focused on what He can do for us. Our intimacy with God should not be focused on what we need from Him. We don't get intimate with God because we need something from Him. What has to carry us through the battles that we're facing is our own intimacy with God Himself. Our desire to be intimate with God should be more than the desire that we need to get something fixed, something done in our life. Our longing for intimacy with God should remain the same, whether we are suffering or not. Life is a battle, and sometimes we will find ourselves in the dark alleys, desperate, sad, longing, discouraged, and not knowing where to go and what to do next. And I just like to end this message with a verse that I hope will encourage us all. In Isaiah 50:10, it says, "Let the one who walks in the dark, who has no light, trust in the name of the Lord and rely on their God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word today. We thank You that You have encouraged us by letting us know that even in the darkest corners, the secret places where we hide, there are treasures. Lord, in the battles we face, we know that You are there. Even if you don't feel You, even if you don't see You, even if you don't hear You, we know that You are there. Lord, I am suffering, but You are present. Lord, I am afraid, but You are present. Thank You, Lord, that when I'm crushed and broken, You come to my rescue. And every tear that I shed never goes to waste, because You keep them. You remember me in my sorrow. Thank You, Lord, for who You are. And thank You for what I can be and who I can be because of what You've done for me on the cross. As we end this week, Lord, we give to You everything that burdens our hearts. And we say, thank You, Lord, for Your love and Your mercy endures forever. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Have a beautiful weekend, everyone. God bless you all. And see you all again next week. Let's give God a praise.
You just heard a message from Every Nation Canberra. For more podcasts and for more information on Every Nation Canberra, please visit everynationcanberra.org. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/everynationcanberra and on Instagram at instagram.com/encanberra.
We meet every Saturday at 104 The Valley Avenue, Guncallan. Would you like to be connected to a tag group? Email us at everynationcanberra@gmail.com.